This week's episode comes from our National Etch Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for Etch, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the Etch Conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. We are recording this episode of the podcast at the Etch Family Ministry Conference in the Music City Center in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, during our gathering. And so we are here this week with nearly 1,000, actually over 1,000 attendees who are children's ministry, student ministry, and family ministry leaders. And so as you hear noise and things in the background, there are people passing by. And so that's what the ambiance is that you hear around us as we talk. Along with our attendees, we have the opportunity to have several thought leaders here with us. One of those is Dr. Shelley Melia, and we are so glad to have her with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Shelley, so good to have you back. We are going to be discussing preteens and where do they belong in a ministry. Now, for those of you who don't know Shelley, Dr. Shelley Melia served as a children's minister for over 20 years in Oklahoma, Florida, and Texas prior to joining the faculty at Dallas Baptist University, where she is today. She's the Associate Dean of the Graduate School of Ministry and directs the Master of Arts in Children's Ministry and the Master of Arts in Family Ministry programs. Most importantly, she's a proud mom of three, and she is here to share with us today some insight on preteens. So, guys, perhaps your church is struggling to know where preteens belong. Where do they fit? Are they part of the children's ministry? Are they part of the youth ministry? This conversation that we're going to have now, we hope to address the pros and cons of those two options and to offer some alternatives that are designed to meet a really specific need that is the need of preteens. So, Shelley, tell us about preteens. What are some of the unique characteristics of kids at this age?
Well, preteens are in a sea of change. Just about everything in their life is changing. Developmentally, they're changing from physically. We know that they're fairly awkward because there's a lot of physical changes going on. But we also know that socially they're having changes. When we look at people like Erickson, he talks about the changes that they're going through in terms of identity versus role confusion. They're trying to figure out who they are. And the interesting thing is that they're looking to others to figure out who they are. And so they're in a very vulnerable state. They're also changing cognitively. Their brains are changing. We talk a lot about just the different ways in which the different chemicals that are in their brain that are changing. And so that affects what they need and what they want. They're thinking, they're beginning to think a little bit abstractly, but they're still mostly concrete thinkers. And so everything in their life is changing. And many of them are moving from an elementary grouping to a middle school grouping, depending on where they go to school. And so at church, we really have the opportunity to say, we know that all these changes are going on, but the place where they belong is really where their needs are best met. And those needs are not just their social needs. You know, if we just want to look at their social needs, we might think, oh, we need to push them up to youth ministry because it's more fun, it's more exciting, and more social. But it's not just about that. It's also about their emotional needs. It's about their physical needs, their cognitive needs, and their spiritual needs. And so really the place where they belong is an easy answer, but it's hard to flesh it out in reality. The easy answer is, well, they belong where their needs are best met. Where it gets difficult is trying to determine, well, is that children or is that youth ministry?
And so if we're the kind of person who's looking for a just tell me what to do and I'll do it, that answer didn't give me that answer.
You're
saying it's a bigger question.
It is a bigger question.
That needs to be answered. So this can be difficult for churches to wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard and we've observed that kids seem to be growing up faster.
Right.
Aspiring up at a younger age,
uh-huh,
maybe. But we also know that there are also large parts of preteens who are still childlike.
Right. They still enjoy childlike things. Yeah, it's a dilemma for sure, and there's not a one-size-fits-all answer. However, I do have a preference. I mean, I do think that in general, we don't want to push them up to something that they're not quite ready for. And so a lot of churches are solving this issue with a preteen ministry. And that's a ministry that is outside of children, but also outside of youth. And so you create this perhaps fifth and sixth grade module. Some just create a sixth grade module. Others may, maybe they're a smaller church and they go fourth, fifth, and sixth, or maybe they go fifth, sixth, and seventh. But there's that recognition that there's something going on that's pretty special between the ages of about 10 to 13 that we really need to consider them as vulnerable. Because there's really some important transitions, and it's a really important transition from children's ministry to youth ministry, because how well we do that is also going to impact then the transition from youth ministry to adult ministry, which we know statistics show us is not going well, that students are dropping out after high school. And so we want to make sure that we do that transition really, really well with them when they go from preteen to youth.
So this category of preteen may be new to some people. Many of us have been aware of this as kind of an emerging opportunity for specialized ministry. Mm-hmm. Many people are functioning in churches who have a kids ministry and a student ministry.
Right.
And the preteens are caught in the middle.
Right.
What are some, from your experience, some of the pros or cons of moving them into the high school group?
Okay.
Why would that not be the best idea?
Okay. Well, one of the things that you have to understand is whatever you do on one end of the spectrum is going to impact the other end of the spectrum. It's a systemic type issue. So if I bring sixth graders into the youth ministry, what are those 12th graders going to think and do? In general, 12th graders don't like it. And so you begin to see the more sixth graders you get in a ministry, the fewer 12th graders you get in a ministry, which that undercuts that transition that's so important from high school to college.
Yes.
And so we have to be really careful that we don't throw them into something that not only they're not ready for, but also may hurt the upper end of the spectrum of 12th graders that they may drop out because they don't want to be around sixth graders. And so that's something to consider as well.
Well, what about leaving them in the kids' space? How is the children's ministry impacted if you leave your sixth graders there?
Well, a lot of children's ministers notice that about January of that sixth grade year, they begin to check out. They begin to think, this is boring, I don't want to do it, it's not cool. It's too babyish. And so about sixth grade, we began to lose them. And so then that hurts that transition from sixth grade to children's ministry. And so it can become a problem. They can become behavior problems. They can begin to tell their parents they're bored and those types of things, which interestingly enough, when you look at brain development, their brain is developing in some ways where they are seeking out new experiences because the dopamine levels are lower. And so they actually need more excitement than adult does to experience pleasure. And so they really are kind of bored. And so we have to figure out, okay, how do we make it more exciting? How do we engage them? Because it is really true that they are bored with it. And so if you keep them in there, instead of them being leaders in a good way, they can be leaders in a bad way.
Yeah.
And they can lead the kids in the wrong direction. And so, again, there's pros and cons of leaving them in there, but one of the cons is definitely them checking out and behavior problems and those types of things.
And so would it be ideal then to have a separate ministry team or leader who can focus on these preteens?
Absolutely. I think that's the ideal situation. And every church is different. Some have lots of resources, some have very few resources. But in a church where you have resources, it may be that you decide that you need a preteen minister. A lot of the larger churches and even mid-sized churches are employing either a part-time or a full-time person who all they do is concentrate on meeting the needs of those preteens. And when you do that, I know for our church, when we shifted to that model, we saw explosive growth in the preteens because it was fun and it was exciting and it was different, but it wasn't throwing them to the wolves in the ministry, in the youth ministry. And most youth ministers don't really want sixth graders in the youth ministry anyways, because there's such a vast difference in needs. So that preteen model works well. It satisfies the needs of children, and it also satisfies the needs of those youth ministers as well.
So it sounds a little bit like Goldilocks. So student ministry may be too hot, children's right. ministry too cold, and there's something in the middle.
Excellent.
That's not just right that
yeah,
we're looking for.
Yeah, I like
for.
That. That's a great.
So what? So if we've become aware of this need and that there is this group of kids, what does it take to get started? Do we need to have a separate curriculum resource? Do we need to have a whole separate bunch of activities? Mm-hmm. How do we begin to get into this? And what's enough?
I think the first place to begin is parents, getting them involved. Most of them realize and recognize there's an issue, that their kids are becoming bored. And so getting them involved and saying, hey, we want to create this new ministry. Come help us do that. If you have the resources to get an intern or to do something like that, would be great. The other really important thing is to determine your curriculum, to make sure that you choose a curriculum that's going to support what you're going to do. Lifeway has a great flight curriculum that's geared specifically to preteens. I know that the VBS material is geared specifically to preteens. And so we're seeing publishing companies begin to produce more and more preteen materials. And so making sure that you have parent buy-in and that you have a good curriculum, and then, you know, selling the church, selling the personnel committee, whoever it is, on the importance, and say this is really a critical transition. And if we lose them here, we're going to have even more trouble losing them when they're older. And so laying that groundwork.
So what are some of those payoffs? So if we move forward, if we say, yes, we're going to commit to this, and in some churches it may be 8 kids or 10 kids. So it may not be an overwhelming thing to take on. So let's say we move forward with it. We set up a preteen ministry. We find that person who can champion that and take ownership. What benefits might we expect to see in those kids, in their spiritual development, in their connectivity to one another, to the church, and to the Lord?
Well, I think you're going to find they're going to be more engaged and excited about what's going on in the church. You also have a unique period of time where you can use them as leaders in the children's ministry every once in a while. You know, they don't want to be with the younger kids all the time, but you can train them to go and to lead music, to go and to tell a story and those types of things, so you can develop them as leaders. And in general, what we see is churches that do that see a real boom in attendance in that group, because it really is meeting a need. And parents are just relieved that their kids finally want to go to church again, because that's the first time they've really had to deal with that. It's never been a choice before. And when they get to be preteens, we tend to start letting them make more choices. And so when kids are excited about going to church, preteens are excited, parents are going to be excited, and lots of great things are going to happen. And then they have something to look forward to in the youth ministry. If we push them up too soon, by the time they're 11th and 12th, everything is old. They're burned out on everything that we've done 1,000 times. And so it really saves that novelty and excitement of youth ministry until they're really ready for it.
And so have you found that it helps them transition better from children's up into student ministry?
I think that if you do it the right way, it definitely can. And the one thing that you don't want to think about is just it as a promotion, but more as a transition. And so finding ways to link your youth ministry into your preteen ministry, it might be that you decide to say, you know what, starting in January, we're going to have the youth ministry intern come and speak on Wednesday nights once a month, so that they begin to interface with that guy. Or maybe your vacation Bible school is taught by the youth ministry for sixth graders, so that as they're transitioning in a few months, they already know them. Or maybe you have those youth interns come to camp with the preteens, and so they get to spend 3 or 4 days with them, so that they have a better chance of making that transition from one group to the next. Because as exciting as it may be to move from preteen or children's to youth, it's also very overwhelming.
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump. And so if they don't feel connected, there's a greater chance of not sticking around. And so
from a subject matter point of view, a content point of view, we mentioned that these kids are not they're growing out of some of the techniques and maybe even some of the lessons of children's ministry. They may not be ready for the full weight or the depth of study that we could go to in a high school ministry. What kinds of things through this really significant transition phase, what types of things do we need to be imparting to kids at this age about their faith? You mentioned flight as a resource. Are there some issues or some life lessons at this phase that we need to be tuned into?
There definitely are. I mean, I think there's a variety of things that are important. One of the things that kids like to talk about, even as preteens, is why do I believe what I believe? What do other religions believe? And how do we believe? And so almost an apologetics that's age appropriate. We've done that with preteens before, and they really like that because they are cognitively beginning to wonder, why do I believe what I believe? Or do I really believe what my parents believe? Or do I believe something else? So giving them opportunities to explore their faith in the preteen area is good. We've also allowed them to learn about their spiritual gifts and then given them opportunities to actually serve in their area of giftedness. So we had a month of serving where they learned about that, and then, you know, they got to go and to do that. Gender-based groupings are great for this age group so that you can address some of the peer issues. Even just things like internet safety and all those types of things that maybe we didn't have to deal with when we were kids, but they can deal with. There's just a ton of topics that are helpful for them and their identity development.
Great. So, listener, don't ignore the preteen. There's a very important phase in life that many of our children are in and are going through, and it's a unique opportunity for us to meet them where they are and to serve them well as we guide them through that transition of not being a child in the same way and yet not quite ready for you to be. Shelley, thank you for joining
us. You're
welcome. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. We so appreciate your insights into these important issues.